Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bill, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the Formula of Concord, discussing Article 10 on church usages called adiaphora or indifferent things. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here. Go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are back at it, and we are continuing our series through the Formula of Concord, and we're on Article 10 today as we get into this batch of episodes, and welcome back, guys.
Somehow we managed to squeeze four episodes out of Christ's descent into hell.
Yeah, but you know, I really enjoyed those episodes.
It was. I did too. I think that we could have actually gone deeper. Like, we could have, if we wanted to.
Jesus went all the way deeper.
Thanks, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No, Jesus juke.
Yes. Jesus juke. Yeah.
We did not really get into some of the controversies as much as we could have. You know, the different, you know, ideas that people had about what the descent into hell was all about. And we never really got into that. So I think we sold ourselves short. There's a lot of content there.
Or even our second time through the Book of Concord.
Yeah. Even yeah. The deeper dive.
Yeah. Even
the
deeper.
Second drink, yeah. Or whatever they call
even
it.
Even
more Lutheran.
Yeah, yes. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. So today we're talking about church practices, and I'll go ahead and read the start of the formula article for us. Church practices or church usages. I'll read that and we'll jump into our conversation here. It says, there has also been a division among theologians of the Augsburg Confession concerning those ceremonies or church usages which are neither commanded nor forbidden in the Word of God, but have been introduced into the church in the interest of good order and the general welfare. And so the chief question at issue in this controversy has been, in times of persecution, when a confession is called for, and when the enemies of the gospel have not come to an agreement with us in doctrine, may we, with an inviolate conscience, yield to their pressure and demands, reintroduce some ceremonies that have fallen into disuse, and that in themselves are indifferent things, and are neither commanded nor forbidden by God, and thus come to an understanding with them in such ceremonies and indifferent things. One party said yes to this, and the other party said no.
Just a straightforward, easy to understand question.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. This whole idea of church practices, church usages. Which word of those do you like better?
Practices.
Practices. Okay.
Yeah, I like practices better just because usage sounds weird.
Practice? We talking about
practice? We talking about practice? Not a game.
Yeah.
And you got that yeah. Was your chance to come in as Jim Mora.
No, I don't.
Playoffs.
Yeah. Those epic sports quotes.
Yeah. So to start off, we have to talk about what the issue is before we get into the specifics. So, because I really wanted to talk about this because the concept of adiaphora is more or less what explains the difference between us in the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, and our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It is the existence of adiaphora that explains most of the differences. However, the existence of adiaphora is not what this article is about, but you have to understand adiaphora before you get into in my Lutheran confessional theology class at the Bible College, we're talking about the Augsburg Confession. So this is what Chemnitz and Andrea are talking about, not what Melanchthon is talking about. So let's talk about adiaphora first.
Yeah.
So adiaphora. Brad, what is it?
What is it?
That's the big question. So adiaphora is interesting. Kind of concept, and I think it's poorly taught sometimes in the church. It's those things to which Scripture doesn't speak directly. They are not things that don't matter.
That's the big thing. So right now, a vast majority of American Protestants, and this is not generic American church stuff, okay? Mm. This is actual American Protestants. So this is the Protestant denominations along with the GAC. It's for people who don't understand the concept, adiaphora means you're not the boss of me. I can do whatever I want. And that's not what adiaphora is.
Okay.
And so this is like, okay, the Bible doesn't say anything about doing a Star Wars play on Easter Sunday, so the megachurch down the street is just fine with doing the Star Wars play on Easter Sunday.
Bummer.
That's
my
not
plans
audio.
Are all,
yeah, you're,
my plans are thwarted.
At least I thwarted your Easter plans like 2 months ahead of time.
Yeah, there you go.
So you're welcome.
Got time to plan.
The service.
Here.
Right.
It's not, Adiaphora is not the baseline of Christian libertarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get that out of our systems or the rest of the article isn't going to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's not a license to sin or a license to do whatever we want, even that isn't sin.
Or a license to kill because Christians aren't James Bond.
How many quotes have we had? I've got to come up with one, but they're just not coming. Yeah. You guys are just throwing them back.
The quote meter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. You
trust me. I wish I had a sound effect. Remember that time we thought we had sound effects? We should get back into that. I would have played sound effects every time that I hear a quote.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So.
Would it be helpful to mention that regulative principle versus the normative principle?
Yeah, is you did. A, so you okay. Roll with it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I guess I always get those things confused
pause.
In my mind.
I have no idea which one's which. Never have.
Yes, same. Yeah.
I know exactly. I actually heard Al Mohler recently explain that and why they are called that.
That's exactly.
And it made it more confusing.
Yeah.
I still don't know what it means.
That's
which
exactly
one's which.
I know what
the concept is. So, Brett, why don't you take it away and let's screw it up pretty good.
Yes. I pulled it up. Just to make sure, because I do the same thing, Adam, mm-hmm. So don't feel bad.
We need to name things better.
Yeah.
Adiaphora, let's pick a word people know.
Yeah.
Right? The normative. Regulative.
Regulative is if something is commanded by Scripture, that's the only thing they're going to do. So, like, if organ isn't mentioned in Scripture.
Okay, yeah. So that's the college I went to following my time here at the Bible College, is I went to Oklahoma Christian University, and I don't know where they're at because this was 25 years ago now, but they were a denominationally affiliated with the Church of Christ, not the United Church of Christ, but the Church of Christ. And at the time, at least, the Church of Christ was, if the New Testament is silent on it, then we're silent on it. And there were some weird things, but kind of what that meant is that they were a cappella worship only because Scripture doesn't mention specific instruments. So fits under that.
So that would be the regulative. And then the normative is if Scripture doesn't absolutely say you can't do it, you're allowed to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the washing machine one is the idea where you guys remember that when we were talking in seminary about this? And like, so the Scripture never, you know, says we should use washing machines, but we do because we're free to wash our clothes, those kind of things.
Yep.
Do you remember that? What a stupid illustration now that I say it out loud. It doesn't really make sense, but it does. I mean, if the Scripture says I can do it, that's the only thing I'm going to do.
Yeah.
If it doesn't say anything about it, then I'm free to choose.
Somehow you said that, and now I've got White as Snow stuck in my head. So thanks for that.
I've got the Transfiguration stuck in my head. So,
but the principle behind this is how do you exercise your Christian freedom?
Okay.
And that's what's going on. So you've got Adiaphora on the one side, you've got the weaker brother clause from Romans 14 on the other side, and then Luther's concept of free will and the bondage of the will, and this actually comes through Melanchthon in the Augsburg Confession, the concept of free will is that our will is free in regard to reason, and our will is bound in regard to the things of God. Now, what that has to do with Adiaphora, then, is it's up to us, if Scripture doesn't mention it, to determine whether it's a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing for the church to do. And this is where getting Adiaphora wrong gets us off the rails, because it's not, I can do whatever I want, is this helpful? Does this teach the faith, or is this a distraction, and does it point people away from Jesus? And so Adiaphora, an Adiaphora can be about, do you use purple or blue for Advent on the pyramids? That's an Adiaphora. It's not explicitly commanded, but it also doesn't mean it's unimportant. There's a decision to be made there, and you're not to decide it flippantly.
Mm-hmm. So by the time this airs, excuse me, I may be teaching, I may have already taught, I have not yet taught as we record, a session on the importance of the aesthetic in worship. You know, when you walk into a church building, everything that you see, the people that you see, how you're greeted, how you're brought in, how the hospitality, the furniture, everything sends a message. And so often, I see in church, I shouldn't say this, I got to be careful. So often, I think it's tempting, let's put it that way, for us to, for instance, as we're leading worship or setting up a church service or whatever, even the order of service, it's easy for us just to do it and kind of say, well, I have freedom and I can do whatever. Well, you do have freedom in those matters, but what you do does matter. And it all sends a message. It all sends a message. One of the things I think of, you guys go to Costco. We have many around here. Yeah, yeah. So I'm regularly in Costco. One of the things that just frustrates me to no end, and I'm going somewhere with this. Brett's like, okay, where are we going?
He was bemused.
When you walk in, I think that the look carts on my face are on was, the right yeah. side, and you have to cross the sea of recent checkouters, you know, the recent checkouters, those who have recently checked out, and they're coming through like a river, and you've got to force your way through with an empty cart through that river of...
Terrible design.
You know, yeah, it's terrible, and it sends a message, and you're in our climate, it's cold, it's uncomfortable, it's just, you just want to get into the store and do your shopping. You know, there's a lot of times I see churches like that, where things are just kind of thrown together and not thought through. That is not an exercise of freedom. That's an exercise of laziness. That's my opinion on that.
Well, and feeding into this, too, is a lot of American Protestants and a lot of people in the generic American Christianity.
Jamaican.
I like that even better than
almost
notorious.
Jamaican-American?
Almost spit out my coffee on that one. Jamaicans.
I like it. We're going to roll with that. In those kind of traditions, the principle at play here, yeah. and this would be the regulative principle that they're doing, is that's too Catholic. And so what has been rejected is the formalism of a tradition that they assume is antiquated and communicates something. And so vestments are too Catholic. Liturgical chanting, formal liturgy, you know, hymnody even is too Catholic. And so you end up with, okay, now we have a pastor in street clothes. Not even necessarily a suit, but like a Hawaiian t-shirt or a Hawaiian button-up shirt and khakis. We have, you know, people with coffees in their hands milling about, and then we have, you know, a worship set of four praise songs that were written 5 years ago. That this communicates something about what we believe and what we confess. I don't think it always communicates what we think it communicates. And so you lose a sense of the sacred. You lose a sense of what happens in church matters. You lose a sense that the pastor occupies an office and that he's got a dedicated job and dedicated responsibilities. And this is not right now a right or wrong thing. There is a right or wrong thing, and we should have arguments for why we do what we do. But like Adam is saying, what you do, how your church looks, how you go about conducting yourselves in church reflects your confession of faith and your confession of what's important. Mm-hmm. And this is where adiaphora comes into play, comes into the forefront.
Yeah. It's almost more complicated in some ways or more complex and not quite a right or wrong, but maybe gradual degrees of healthy versus unhealthy. I don't know if that's a better way to consider that.
Well, yeah, let's, before we get too far afield on this, let's give an illustration that illustrates an adiaphora between AFLC and LCMS.
Okay.
Okay. AFLC historically comes out of Norwegian pietism. And as such, AFLC by definition is low church. And what that means is that in the mid-1800s, in Norway, a specific historical context, almost all of the pastors simply occupied a government job because the church was run by the state in Norway. And what this means is that being a pastor was a lucrative job security endeavor, and there was a visible lack of spiritual life, which caused people to kind of recoil away from the state church, and it was a lay-led movement. And then what you ended up happening is a tradition one that rejected the formalism, not of Roman Catholicism, but the formalism of the state church in Norway. This has trickled down through 175 years of church history so that a majority of churches in the AFLC are low church, informal settings. You know, I would say, you know, what?
80%.
Yeah, I was at the number. 80% of our pastors aren't vested or collared. They wear a suit. Now, there's a whole conversation to be had with that. This is not the place. But to the extent that now the suit has become the vestment of the office of the ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see how this changes. It communicates something different. Mm-hmm. But in light of this low church informal setting that the AFLC finds itself in because of a particular historical context 175 years ago, I ended up spending a lot of time in my congregation when I was a full-time pastor at Faith trying to teach them the difference between common and familiar. Mm-hmm. And it's because you lose the element of the sacred. And I would always tell my people, it's like, we want the things of God to be familiar. We want to be welcoming. We want to invite children into the sanctuary. We want them to feel at home in the sanctuary. That is to be celebrated. We don't want them to feel common. We don't want it to be ordinary. And to the extent that you can have a high church liturgical service and still have it be familiar. Mm-hmm. But that's what's at stake with this understanding and practice of adiaphoron.
Interesting. Yeah, there's my wheels are turning there of all the different aspects to which way to go through and worship and church practice. And you know, one thought I have is just about how this applies in all places, all cultures.
Yep.
And maybe we struggle with that a little bit in our Lutheran setting. I don't know, but. Yeah, where do you guys want to go next with this?
Well, I mean, before we make this about worship practice, we should probably get into the heart of the issue so we understand what the article is about. So why don't you read the chief question one more time, and we'll talk about what this article is addressing in the formula. Yeah,
sure. Okay, so the chief question has been, in times of persecution, when a confession is called for, and when the enemies of the gospel have not come to an agreement with us in doctrine, may we, with an inviolate conscience, yield to their pressure and demands, reintroduce some ceremonies that have fallen into disuse and that in themselves are indifferent things and are neither commanded nor forbidden by God, and thus come to an understanding with them in such ceremonies and indifferent things. One party said yes, one says no. It's neither forbidden
or prescribed.
Or prescribed, yeah. Yep. So it's a little bit different.
So who are the parties at play here? That's important to understand.
Generally, in this article, it's still Lutherans versus the Roman Catholics. And so what at stake is that there are two opposing parties that are not agreeing on the nature of the gospel. And the question the Lutherans were wrestling is, if the Roman Catholics say XYZ has to be this way specifically, can we yield to that and do that specifically?
So kind of meeting on common grounds.
Kind of a little bit, but not quite. And so...
like ceding points to one another.
Yeah.
Okay. For the sake of not offending your conscience, we will continue to whatever.
I think a good modern application of this, so I don't screw up my history, a good modern application on this is if the Lutherans, a council of conservative Lutheran church leaders were to meet with leaders of the SBC today. And so there's some fundamental disagreements on things. We don't agree on the nature of the sacraments, for instance. Mm-hmm. But to try to meet in middle ground, the Lutherans would say, all right, for the sake of you Baptist cousins, from now on we'll only do immersion baptisms.
Okay.
That's kind of the illustration here, because there are certain groups, and I don't know if this is the SBC, so don't get me on that, but there are certain groups that insist, no matter what the doctrine behind baptism is, for a baptism to be valid, it has to be immersion only. Mm-hmm. And that's the insistence. And so this question is addressing, could Lutherans say, all right, let's keep up the conversation, but we will only do immersions.
But what's the purpose of the conversation? I think that's part of this.
The purpose of the conversation is doctrinal unity, and especially unity on the nature of the gospel.
Okay. So it's not simply, I don't want to offend somebody who might be coming to my church.
Yeah.
It's a, let's continue the conversation with the SBC to help them realize that it's more than just symbolic.
And, Yeah, and so
is that what you're saying?
This is where it's where the analogy breaks down, because with the Roman Catholics, the disagreements was on the fundamental nature of the gospel. Mm-hmm. But where it works is the Roman Catholics are a church. Mm-hmm. They're a Christian church, and so are the Lutherans. And so, basically, could we agree with any Roman Catholic adiaphora so that we would have the appearance of unity?
So long as it doesn't...
The Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, the Stations of the Cross.
Things like that.
Seven sacraments instead of two.
Right.
Things like this. And what can we agree with? This is the question. And so at the end, when you read the article at the beginning of the episode, Brett, some Lutherans said, yeah, we can punt on adiaphora. And some Lutherans said, because of the nature of this disagreement, we can't have any agreement anywhere else. We are not going to kowtow to Big Brother just to look like we get along when the fundamental disagreement remains. Mm-hmm. And that's at the heart and soul of what this article is all about. When there is difference of practice, how much do we make an effort to tie that to a difference of belief, or how much do we say the practice doesn't really matter?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in this particular article, it's talking about different congregations, right? Practicing different things. Isn't that where we...
There's congregations and... Yeah.
So, like, if you, so I'm just trying to tie this into us, to our situation, because, you know, we're not going to sit here on this podcast and declare there are seven sacraments now. It's just not who we are. But would the application in what you're describing in our church body in particular, with such a vast difference in the practice mm-hmm. of certain, mm-hmm. Yeah, just the practice of vestments, for instance. You know, that we should be able to look at one another. You should be able to, I think, as a free Lutheran, be able to walk into a church, see a pastor in a sport coat, an open collar, a tie, or a clerical collar, and whatever his neck may look like, you know, you should be able to worship there without a burden of conscience, without the impulse to try and change their practice. Is that an application of this? I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but for the sake of time,
it would be a little bit like that. Or I think another thing analogous is, okay, so we are not in official pulpit and altar fellowship with the LCMS. Although we are both conservative Lutherans, I think there's probably 95% agreement across the board doctrinally on mm-hmm. where we're at. If the Missouri Synod came to us and said, for us to consider you Lutheran, you all have to adopt the one-year lectionary. Mm-hmm. It's, okay, can we do that? Do we cede to that level of demand?
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of the nature of the question. Yeah.
Church body, congregation. Yeah.
And again, the analogy breaks down because we don't have the kind of disagreements with the Missouri Synod that the Lutherans 500 years ago had with the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful. It's just to illustrate the point is basically the question is, can the Lutherans allow the Roman Catholics to make demands of them when there is no agreement on doctrine, on the fundamental issues of doctrine? And that's probably where we're going to take it up on the next episode, to talk about how the Lutherans addressed this question.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the formula of concord, discussing Article 10. If you would like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.